Chicago, it's DJ Moore here. I'm glad to be here, excited to be here.
DJ Moore, Chicago Bear wide receiver.
Shoot, they're getting a fun, exciting, energetic person that's just going to come to work every day and not look back.
Second down and six. Williams play fake. Now throws wide open. It's DJ Moore, the former Carolina Panther, is in for a Bears touchdown. 34 yards. Williams to Moore. Williams, Moore, end zone. He's got it. Touchdown.
That was a beautiful ball.
DJ Moore chatting it up with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
We're going to bear down.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, it's the man himself, DJ Moore, joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. DJ, how you feeling this morning, buddy?
I'm feeling good. A little sore, but I'm good.
It's a good kind of sore, though. After a game like that, after a win that big, congratulations on having a big day that everyone kind of saw coming. How'd you celebrate?
We went out to eat. And then came back home and just was chilling.
What'd you eat? Where'd you go?
Went to the steak place in Lake Forest. It was pretty good. I had filet. It was good.
Nice. You deserved it, man. I mean, that, I got to tell you, that was so much fun. The first touchdown, you know, there's a cornerback trying to hand you over to a safety. The corner seems like he's playing zone and everyone else is playing man. And the safety had come up into the box. You were so wide open, it was unbelievable. But you still had to kind of get down the sidelines, cut inside, and score the touchdown. The second one, man, that was a thing of beauty and a joy forever. That must have felt great at the end of the half.
Yeah, that felt amazing. We've been hoping and wishing to connect on that in the game, like we do in practice, and we finally did it, and it was a joyful moment.
Could you describe that a little bit more detail, DJ? Because you look at your one-on-one with Mike Jackson, and then it looked like Caleb controlled the safety with his eyes, and he looked him off, and then all of a sudden you get a step, you're wide open, and he puts the ball exactly where he needs it. How did it unfold, and when did you know that he was coming to you?
I knew he was coming to me like halfway down the field. When the safety wasn't in the middle of the field no more, so I was like, this ball's going up, it's going to be a touchdown. Like, in my head, I'm like, this is a touchdown. I just got to jump forward and get my feet down. But we knew it was going to be a touchdown.
I wonder, what was it like going against, you know, in particular, J.C. Horn, because you used to practice against him. And during the week, he talked about how good you are as a player and how everybody in the locker room is miffed that you were traded. And it's weird to see a guy that was the face of the organization out of the locker room.
Yeah, going against J.C., it was a good time. You know, he's one of the elite corners. He's finally back healthy, so to see him out there was good. But going against him, I mean, he had good battles in Carolina, in camp and practice and stuff. But going out there and facing him in a real game was a good time, I would say.
So, DJ, you know how the conversation went last week leading up to this game, whether it was on this show or throughout the city, everybody seemed to agree that it was time to get you involved in the downfield passing game. How did those conversations go at Hallis Hall? And do you think how much it was, it seemed like there was a concerted effort to make sure that you got the ball down the field?
I don't think we was really worried about the noise outside of Hallis Hall. The game plan was the game plan, and we, like, executed it to a T. It was all about the details this week. That was really it. And just to connect on the deep balls when it was called was a happy feeling.
You know, you look at the way the quarterback is playing, it seems like he's getting better. It seems like And again, I understand Carolina's not a great team, but it's hard to do that in the NFL, to throw a couple touchdown passes, even if a guy is open, even if we just don't see it happen all that much, to get the ball down the field with a good throw like that. What's it like to see it come to fruition? And is he getting better? It looks like his passer rating improves every week. I'm just curious, what's your take on him as a quarterback right now?
Yeah, he's playing lights out week in and week out. You know, he's gotten better week in and week out. Seeing different coverages and playing the same teams that marry up the same coverage on defense is another thing that he would get used to, because it's like a copycat league. But for him to diagnose defenses and see it on film and then see it in live action is something that he's got better at. So I'm glad to see that part.
It seems like he does it better, or it seems like he's very natural when you guys go up tempo, when there is no huddle. And Caleb seems to have a lot of responsibility at the line of scrimmage. Why does it seem that your offense works at a higher level and seems to be more efficient when you guys go no huddle?
This past game, because we kept them in base defense, so we had linebackers on me and Keenan, Cole. So across the board, it was like bigger dudes on skill players. So that was one thing that helped us out this drive, and we just stayed with it as long as we could. And that was him just going through his reads and getting everybody to the ball.
So you're going to London tonight, right? The flight is tonight. You're going to get there tomorrow morning. It's bizarre the way the times say. I think they're 6 hours ahead. Are you pumped up for the trip to London? Is it just a business trip? Is it a pain? Is your family going to come? How are you going to work out the trip to London?
It's not a pain. It's an experience. So I'm looking forward to it. The family's not going. We went during the off season to get the Bears social and do some camps over there. So they're not going.
You did that. You did that in London or in England? I mean,
I did. Yeah, I did it in London.
Oh wow, good
so town. You got to spend a little extra time with your kids at the post game press conference. How did they enjoy that?
They was good for about 2 minutes, and then after that, they was like, they wanted to get down. I had to put them down. It was the life of the Moore household.
Yeah.
And I noticed that somebody had the audacity to ask you about the drop, DJ, about the drop pass that you had during the game.
It's okay. I was just trying to make a big play, and I took my eyes off the ball, and that was a crazy moment in time for me.
I got to tell you, I love when you go in with your kids, because like yesterday, it seemed like your daughter's got your son. She comes running up to you. You're kind of hugging her, and the boy just turns around and he's off on his own. Like, it's so funny to watch a little kid wandering around a football stadium. I don't know why, but it's super cool. He's growing up with this. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, he's growing up faster than I would say a normal kid would. He's in love with football. Like, those are the game balls that I have in the house. I'm like, you can't do that, but he just keeps gravitating to it. And then when we go out there and play, it's like he wants to run out there, but he know he can't go out there yet. So it's fun to watch.
Yeah. All right, DJ, your audience demands to know, what was the celebration and when about after the first touchdown, the tiptoe touchdown that you got into the end zone, and when did you plan it?
It didn't go all the way through like me and Keenan planned, but because you can't do the celebrations with shooting none of the gun things. So we was like, okay, we're going to do the grenade. And then I threw the grenade up. And me and Cole actually went through with it, so maybe they'll come back out.
I wondered what was happening there. I wondered what was going on there. A lot of action.
Oh, that's so funny.
A lot of fun. But it had to be almost as much joy as you felt after that game. How much of it was also relief because of it was, you even referenced it post game, week 5. And it feels like now is a time where things are starting to click, and now maybe you've gotten through some of the growing pains and they're starting to enjoy this now. So how did it feel? Sense of relief as much as joy?
Relief is fine. More joy than relief, because you work so hard during the week, during the whole season. This game is not easy, and when you get a win like that, it's amazing.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it was a ton of fun to watch that game. It must have been fun for you, given that's your old team, and I mean, we've talked about it. I know you're not trying to get one over on them or whatever, but that's a team that deemed that a quarterback was more important than you, and they traded you, and I'm sure you're well aware of how that has worked out and the trade itself and your importance to this team. So it has to be kind of fun to just play your old team and get the, I wouldn't call it revenge, but whatever avengement, whatever way you want to put it.
Yeah, it was fun just to play them. I want to say it was a revenge game or anything, but I mean, the team that lets you go, anytime you play them, you're going to want to do them bad and have a good game. So, and let them know what they're missing.
How do you feel as a wide receiver about your offense becoming more balanced, it seems, and maybe even emphasizing the running game? We always talk about the identity. It's been the topic over the first month, and it seems like Shane Waldron's leaning into maybe a little bit more of a running game physical mentality, especially in the red zone. As a wide receiver, how do you feel about all that?
Whatever gets us a touchdown in that moment, whether it's passing or running the ball. I mean, we don't really got no selfish people on the team. So however we score is how we score.
I think it's fairly obvious that you're kind of developing a little something with Caleb Williams, and he understands how good you are. When we've talked to you the last couple of weeks, you use the word decoy on a couple of times when the short passing game seemed to feature you as opposed to getting you downfield. Do you feel like you've got something to build on now? Does this translate into more fun in London? What are your thoughts on that?
It's week to week, anybody can go off, but hopefully it'll keep going, keep this up. And start spreading the ball around like that to everybody. And one game we might have more than one person that has 100 yards or somebody else has a go-off game. Anything that just keeps us going and riding this high of wins and having fun.
This segment with DJ Moore is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. How much do you pay attention to what's going on in the rest of the league, specifically in the division? The NFC North is probably the toughest in football right now, DJ, and in relation to, obviously, that's down ahead on the far off in the schedule, but it's also, you talk about being a playoff-caliber team, I'm sure it has gotten your attention. How much conversation do you guys have about your long-term goals this season in terms of the playoffs?
You want to know where everybody's standing is. The NFC North is definitely one of the stronger ones. But you see it, you know where everybody's ranked, but you got to wait until you get your turn, chance to play them and see what it's all about and hopefully come out with that win. But right now you got to focus on the first half of the year before we can even get to a divisional opponent.
So you get one touchdown pass with the kid and you let him keep the ball. Then you get two touchdown passes. What are you going to do with the three next week?
I don't know. Probably. Hopefully just get one game ball that's painted that said I had three touchdowns.
Were you anywhere near any of the skirmishes, the fight that went on in the end zone? Were you in harm's way? What was your vantage point for that?
I was not in. I had seen it happening, but I wasn't in.
Any bad blood? Was it because? Well, how much of that was related to the fact that Caleb took a shot out of bounds that wasn't called? And you just wonder, they had to be frustrated. Obviously, the Panthers giving up 36 points, but also there might have been some short patience on the Bears' side because of the way Caleb was treated.
Yeah, I don't really know because I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't out there, so I would have to ask somebody that was out there. But I heard they were throwing hands, so and the two got ejected.
Yeah, yeah. Your buddy J.C. Horn really lost his stuff. It was just weird to see. I don't understand why you would throw a punch at a guy in a helmet. That's never made sense to me. It's a good way to hurt your hand, but it was weird that it got that kind of tense, especially like after the play. Jonathan Vilma did the game and he said, hey, feel free to hit when the play is going on and prevent the touchdown rather than start fighting because people are celebrating.
Yeah, I don't understand hitting somebody in a helmet with your hand, but that's just crazy. I wouldn't recommend it because it hurts. I've done it before, and I probably won't never do it again.
Now, DJ, the big question is, all right, post-game, we saw you at the podium. Was it just a fashion choice or a support for the White Sox hat? Explain it.
Love it.
It was just a fashion choice for what I had on. So
it just matched?
That was it.
Yeah,
it just matched the black that was in my gray sweatsuit.
It's a very cool hat, and I think a lot of people appreciate you're not a front runner.
Did you grow up a Phillies fan?
I did grow up a Phillies fan.
Good weekend for you then after the walk-off from Castellanos yesterday. You paying attention to that at all?
Yes, that was. I was watching the stat line, but I wasn't watching the actual game.
Hey, growing up as close as you were with DeAndre Swift, maybe you can help us understand. He looked a little bit miffed that he had to come out after getting the team down to the 1 yard line. He comes out and he can't score a touchdown. Was he a little bit upset that he wasn't able to finish off that drive with the touchdown?
Yeah, I think any player would have been just a little bit because you like I did all that work and I got to come out. But he ended up getting another touchdown, so I know he was happy about that. But two would be better than one.
Do you have any favorite spots in London after going over there? Is there any place that you're going to get back to on this trip?
There was this one Italian spot that I would go back to, nice. But I forgot the name of it.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, listen, thanks a ton, DJ. Have a great flight over there. It'll be a lot easier and a lot more fun, I would imagine, after a victory than the alternative. So really looking forward to seeing how you follow this one up against the Jags on Sunday.
Safe travels. Good luck.
Man, thank you.
That is DJ Moore. He is the Bears wide receiver. He knows a good Italian place in London. He just can't remember the name of it. That's awesome.
He's looking forward to going back there and certainly joyful about the Bears' offensive explosion yesterday because relative to what they have been achieving, that was an explosion.
And we should say again, and we should have mentioned it to him, after he scored his second touchdown, he went back to the bench and sat by himself. So just because the guy's sitting alone doesn't mean he's unhappy. He must have been delighted to catch his second touchdown.
He sure looked it.
And so stop reading his body language. He's a good dude.
Okay. I know. Well, we have PhDs in body language.
Well, we learned
in Chicago.
We learned at the feet of the master.
Yes.
Figsy. And we'll talk to him at 9. All right. 312-644-6767. We should take a quick look at the division.
Right.
And how that lines up and how everyone looks.
Because Packers took care of business.
Yes,
Vikings took care
of
business. And the Lions enjoyed the day off.
Yeah. And then everybody in the division, you got four teams with winning records right now. And that's the only division in football that can make such a brag. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
That was exhausting, but certainly proud of our guys just to continue to battle. I think, you know, the first half didn't start out the way we wanted it to. And, you know, you got to give the Rams a ton of credit, give Sean a ton of credit and his coaching staff and players. I knew they would be well prepared. I knew they'd battle.
We have a lot of good things clicking right now as a team, but it's early. And, you know, we know it's a long season. And, you know, we just – again, like I said, kind of in the beginning, we just got to continue to take it one step at a time. And if, you know, you get caught up in what people are saying about you and you're this or you're that, we weren't listening to anything that people were saying before the season. So why would we start now?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. You heard the flower there with a victory over his buddy, Sean McVay. It was kind of cool. They showed McVay introducing him to his new baby. There's the little baby and his wife, and Sean goes over and he's like, "Hey, you remember the flower, Matt LaFleur?"
You think that's the way they introduce him? Yeah.
And then the flower, he's got that trick he does where he goes to meet the baby, but then he squeezes it, and it shoots water out of his.
Gets him every time.
Yeah.
He gets him every time.
And then you heard Sam Darnold, who is now the franchise quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings.
I'd hold off on that.
The unbeaten.
He is unbeaten.
He's the generational talent in the division, let's admit.
Funny thing happened on the way to London. I mean, Sam Darnold fell back to earth a little bit. 14 to 31, 179 yards, threw an interception without a touchdown pass, sacked four times.
That was the time zone.
Jets defense might have been. Jets defense might have had something else to do with it. They were better. The odd thing is that Sam Darnold, as pedestrian as he was, wasn't the worst quarterback on the field.
Well, that was old man River.
Yes, as an old man River.
Holy cow.
Oh, boy. The pick six.
That was a very ugly play.
Three picks.
Yeah, they're going to have to sign Devontae Adams in the next 25 or 30 minutes if they think they're going to turn anything around. It's not good right now what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. I want to ask you, though, everything seems happy because the flower beat his mentor, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But they suspended Romeo Doubs for that game because he's unhappy with his role in what they're – I like Romeo Doubs. I thought he was a pretty good player as a rookie there. I don't know how his career has veered off, but apparently – kind of a selfish guy, doesn't like his role, and they suspended him for the game. It makes you wonder what's going on behind the scenes.
It does. It makes you wonder about that a lot. I was surprised they did it. He is a talent.
Yeah.
And he's somebody they value. They're working through it because they've had a lot to work through. That's why the Packers do, I don't want to say scare you, but you do have respect for the fact that they're sitting there 3-2. After losing Jordan Love, after dealing with some of these other issues, Jordan Love got his first victory as a starter yesterday. They were 2-0 with Malik Willis and 0-2 with Jordan Love. He beats the Rams. He overcomes his own bit of adversity created. He had a pick six as well, I believe.
Mm.
And so
a lot of that going around.
Once they get it together, you wonder if they're going to be better than, say, the Vikings. The Vikings are going to come back to earth a little bit. You expect that to happen. And, of course, then you have the Lions. The Lions didn't play but still have every reason to believe that they're going to be the front runners in the NFC North as the season progresses. Where do the Bears fit into that? That's a great question. We don't know yet. I think you can suggest a lot of things based on what happened yesterday, but I think you start to caution yourself not to get too carried away because it was the Panthers, and that was – their version of a historically bad defense. And you scored 36 points, as you should have. But what did you prove? You proved that you're good enough to beat a bad team. And that is progress here in Chicago, but that's really limited progress as you compare it to the rest of the NFC North.
Jordan Love, that pick six, he was trying to avoid a sack, and he gave up a 3-yard pick six. It was like, oh, save the 2 points. Here you go. Have yourself seven. It was the weirdest play, and it was stuff that he doesn't usually do. And, again, it didn't matter. They came back. They won that game. But that was a terrible football.
Terrible decision.
Unbelievable.
Terrible decision. Still looked like a guy learning the position, kind of shaking off some rust from missing the time that he did. Don't know if that's an excuse or maybe that's just who he is. He played really well the second half of last season, but is he going to be a guy that is high risk, high reward, but when he does take those risks, sometimes they backfire and he just gets careless with the football. You don't want if you're the Packers, don't want them to get careless with the football. If you're a Bears defense that's playing Jordan Love of the Packers, you love it because you're going to create some takeaways.
Minnesota winning, that means they're bowl eligible. Pretty good to see that happen this earlier in the
year.
They're
5-0.
Is that ridiculous?
It is. It is ridiculous.
You didn't see that coming,
no,
did you?
No, I don't think anybody saw that coming, especially when they lost J.J. McCarthy, especially when they lost Danielle Hunter, especially with you when you saw Justin Jefferson had a preseason training camp injury. You didn't know how bad that would be. He's fine. He's more than fine.
He's pretty good.
So they lose a lot of stuff, and Brian Flores is still coming after quarterbacks. He
Tua? Oh, stop it.
Aaron Rodgers threw two first quarter interceptions. I think that's the first time in his career that happened. That's a crazy thing, but he is also looking every bit of 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He has not been a guy that you thought would be this bad this early, or maybe some people did. Maybe some people are enjoying this. Whatever the case is, the Viking defense is a pretty aggressive unit, and they're going to come after people, and they're going to make some of their own luck, and it's been good so far.
Dustin asked the question, if J.J. McCarthy had not been hurt, would he be playing? I think they had decided to go the other route, and I think that is the guy. Even if J.J. was healthy, I think Darnold has won these games, so I don't know how you put a guy in and say he's the starter and we're going to let this guy develop and then take him out if he's 5-0.
This may end up being the best thing for J.J. McCarthy's career.
Sure, in the long run.
The red shirt year, watching, learning, no pressure on him. He can heal. Not to say that an injury is good for anybody.
Never good.
No, you don't want to wish that on any young prospect. Hopefully he has a full recovery. But the ability to just absorb what it's like to be an NFL player, an NFL franchise quarterback, to learn from Sam Darnold, frankly, because Sam Darnold has made some good decisions. He did not have a good day in London, but that has been the exception to the rule. He's been pretty efficient, and he's a professional who's been well-traveled, so J.J. McCarthy can benefit from this season, and that is good for his career. It's also an example of what's not happening in terms of quarterback development in the NFL.
Well, there you go.
Rarely do you have a guy that has a be drafted where he is, that doesn't play immediately. Sometimes it's for the good. Sometimes it's not so good.
I wonder if when we look back on this, and again, I think Caleb Williams is developing pretty well. I think that Jaden Daniels hasn't apparently needed to develop. He's just playing well. And I wonder about, did Bo Nix play and he did okay? We know Penix isn't playing. We know McCarthy's hurt. I just think as you look at those guys, you wonder. They won yesterday, didn't they? Denver with
they beat the
Bo
Raiders.
Nix, didn't
yeah,
they?
Because Sertain, Patrick Sertain Jr.
Yeah,
had a lot of things go well, and
including a pick six.
Yeah, so. And they had their own. The Raiders had their own quarterback problems. Minshew mania is dead. Just say it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Cut your hair. Get rid of your sunglasses. It's over. But I'm just saying, I think when you look at what's going on in the division in particular, it's kind of cool to see again, the Bears come week 11, they will open their division season. So they're going to have so many games under their belt. It's kind of wild to think that they're halfway to a division game now.
It is, and that's going to be something to look forward to. This is maybe the non-conference part of their schedule.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, yesterday the Panthers were like the directional team that Alabama schedules,
It's true.
So you want to get through this part healthy, intact, and on a roll. And that's so far the Bears are on their way. It's inevitable that they're going to be each and every week comparisons to, the other rookie quarterbacks, Bo Nix, you mentioned, and Caleb Williams, or Jaden Daniels, more likely, and Caleb Williams. Jaden Daniels, the Commanders are the first team since 1970, the merger, to score 150-plus points in the first five games while starting a rookie quarterback. So just when we thought C.J. Stroud had the best rookie quarterback season ever, here comes Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. I got to see the whole year.
I do too, and I'm glad you said that, because there are two things. Number one, I think you have to see the whole year. Secondly, if Caleb Williams is developing in the way that we saw him develop yesterday and beginning this path toward whatever greatness, however you want to describe it, but it's in the right direction, I think that's all that matters right now. The comparisons will be inevitable. You'll get a sense of, oh boy, the Bears did it again. They passed on this generational talent, this MVP type of season. Just be patient with it. It's happening in Chicago, so really it doesn't matter what's happening elsewhere. If you got your guy and he develops as your guy, the rest of it is kind of irrelevant.
I believe the Commanders, do they play Baltimore next? Because that'll be an interesting game to see. They do play Baltimore next. I think that will tell a lot. That'll give you a good
insight. He's having a special season.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, now you got another special quarterback and you got a guy in, you got a defense. It could be interesting. That's all I'm saying.
It will be interesting.
I'd like to know. And that's, you know.
He's accurate. Jaden Daniels, you're watching him. He's dynamic. He's doing things with his legs and his arm. And he's terrific. He's not only the best rookie, he's been one of the best quarterbacks, period, in the NFL. And that will evolve and develop. And I think if you're seeing Caleb Williams having the type of season that it looks like he's on the verge of beginning and continuing, then that's the main thing. That's the biggest takeaway. You want to feel like you got the right guy. He's the guy you're going to build around. And as long as he's making progress, comparisons are fun. They're inevitable. We're going to make them. We're going to talk about, you know, Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, Justin Fields and Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
That's a situation that Bears monitoring this week. What's going to happen in Pittsburgh after they've lost their second in a row and largely because their offense fizzled? Does Russell Wilson come back now and replace Justin Fields?
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. It's going to be fun to keep an eye on all that stuff. I got to tell you, I think that the fact that they suspended Romeo Doubs makes me feel like there's something behind the scenes going on in Green Bay that we don't know about. And I don't know if it's more than one guy or what, but I find it hopeful. I like it
because of the possibility it'll affect the Packers negatively.
Exactly. That's my hope.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, something to keep an eye on. All right, we gotta move on. 312-644-6767, Mully and Haw on the score.
On second down, Dalton steps up, fires. You talked about them looking to take some shots, and this one is intercepted by Byard, intended for Jonathan Mingo.
It's been long overdue. Excited the way the team played, man. I feel like we came out here to play with a lot of juice, a lot of energy. I mean, just on that particular play, just, you know, just locating the ball, tracking the ball in the air, not panicking. Yeah, I mean, the guy ran a deep ball route, like an over route or some post or whatever it was. And, yeah, man, just doing what I've always been doing in this league, man, tracking the ball and just making a play.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That is the voice of Kevin Byard, and he had his interception in the game, and he talks about it there. You know, pretty spectacular performance by the defense holding the 10 points was all they allowed against the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, early in the game, Chuba Hubbard with the 38-yard touchdown, which, you know, obviously was disturbing to see untouched en route to the end zone. Over their next 11 plays, they managed 15 yards.
They woke up. And we talked all week about the run defense being a little bit leaky.
Yes.
And it was very leaky on that 38-yard touchdown run. They tightened things up quite a bit. Chuba was contained.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Dalton threw him the football, as we said. And Kevin Byard went up and made his 29th career interception. When you think about how established he already was when he came to the Bears, you wondered how much he had left in the tank. If anything, that was the only thing you worried about. And there's been nothing to worry about. He has fit in perfectly. He's an upgrade, I think, at that position from Eddie Jackson a year ago. And when you look at the way this defensive secondary flies around, Jaquan Brisker with the big hits. Tyrique Stevenson will hit you too. He had really good coverage on a back shoulder attempt that Andy Dalton could not thread the needle. Jalen Johnson just smothers whoever he's on any given Sunday. This secondary is for real, and I think it's the best part of this football team.
The secondary is fantastic, and there are guys in it, even when they're not making plays, even if they're not like featured in it. Kyler Gordon's a great athlete and a really good football player. Obviously, you know how good the cornerback is. They just have five or six pretty decent, solid players that can help them at any minute. And I think the defense has been excellent. We haven't talked much about Walker. He also had four quarterback hits. You know, he didn't have the fumble recovery. He didn't have the same game that Javon Dexter did, but that's still a really strong performance.
No doubt about it. And when you look at the numbers overall, ESPN stats and info, the Bears defense pressured the Panthers on 20 of 41 dropbacks. That's almost half of the time. One out of every two pass plays, the Bears were pressuring Andy Dalton. That's the highest pressure rate in a game since ESPN started measuring the metric in the last 15 years,
wow,
according to ESPN stats and info. That's a day.
Yeah.
That's taking advantage of really an older quarterback, but
yes,
that offensive line is respectable.
Yeah, it is.
So you're coming after a very respectable.
They had two injuries in the game, though.
They did. You're right.
I'm not trying to undersell it, David. I'm just saying.
I guess it indicates two things. Number one, when the Bears are in one-on-one situations, they're winning these battles. But also, when they want to come after you with pressure, they know how.
Well, I think what's extraordinary is that Montez Sweat probably had as difficult a game as he's had this year.
Yeah.
He wasn't as dominant, but you got...
And you still got that.
We mentioned Dexter and Walker, and we mentioned Andrew Billings earlier as another guy. I mean, they got some good football players on that team.
They really do, and they also
and on that side
are
of the ball.
Very strategic and intelligent and smart. This is where Matt Eberflus, this is his strength right now, and it's been his strength since he actually came to Chicago. Once he assumed play-calling duties, he has a good knack, a feel for when to bring the blitz from the secondary.
Yep.
He has a good feel about what run blitzes to call. This is a guy who understands defensive football as well as he does anything. He's a better defensive coordinator than he is a head coach, but he's an acceptable head coach because he's such a good defensive coordinator. And he saw ways to bring Kyler Gordon. You see the way that they are able to blitz at times, Jaquan Brisker. Not really necessarily too high of a risk.
Right.
And when you have your cornerbacks who can cover like that, you're more willing to be aggressive and take those kind of chances.
And I mean, you know, Kyler Gordon had a sack on a blitz. I got to tell you, one of the biggest plays in the game was when Brisker comes up and knocks the ball out.
Knocked it out.
He nearly knocked the guy with the ball out. He nearly knocked himself out, but he knocked that ball out.
Tommy Tremble.
That was a big play at the moment because it turned field position.
When you watch that replay of the Tommy Tremble, Jaquan Brisker hit, I wonder how many people had the same sort of initial reaction I did. It was like,
the tight end Tremble.
Tight end led with his head.
Yeah, I know. It was almost like they both put their heads down.
I don't know, Molly.
So you thought it was him?
I think it's a natural reaction. I mean, it's hard to protect yourself from a collision. You know it's coming, but I do think if a defensive player were to do that, he might have been flagged. I just think that sometimes the running back or a receiver. A tight end as big as Tremble was will drop his head, lead with it, and I don't think that's always called.
And I'm not going to argue that fact. That was a scary hit.
It was because he went into concussion protocol.
Yes.
I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I know.
But I think it's a difficult lesson to remember or learn.
But I think maybe you know the contact's coming. You got the ball. You go down, you know. But you're right.
He's
the one that led with his head on that.
You're training tacklers to relearn how to tackle. I think you've got to be just as diligent in reminding ball carriers, receivers, how to take a hit.
That's fair. That's a fair
comment. You don't want to drop your head because bad things happen when you do.
All right. We're going to bring in our guy, Brad Biggs. It's Biggs time next. Mully and Haw on the score.